The following is a recording of the Maria Verona teleconference with iAdvise on Friday, April 26, 2013 at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Good day. My name is Taylor, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cable conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer period. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Maria Verona. Ma'am, you may begin your conference.
Thank you and good day, everyone. I'm pleased to welcome you to Megacable's first quarter 2013 conference call. With us today from Megacable, we present Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Cetes, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. The gentlemen will be taking your questions after the presentation during the Q&A session. Please note that statements made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, and financial results. These are subject to different conditions. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the quarterly release, which was distributed yesterday. If you have not received a copy of the release or would like to be added to Megacable's mailing list, you may contact us in New York at 212-406-3691. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Yamuni for his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Maria, and good day to everyone joining us today for Megacable's conference call. Today, we will be discussing the first quarter 2013 operating and financial results. Megacable kicked off the year with solid results, new product launches, and a more competitive offering for existing as well as new customers. I will briefly go over a few major developments as well as our pipeline of new initiatives, the remainder of 2013, before turning the call over to Raimundo and Luis for a review of our financials and performance. In terms of innovation, we believe that Megacable is well in tune with the future trends that exist for our core services. For example, we are in the process of implementing a new framework for delivering video services to televisions that will substantially enhance the IPG, or Interactive Program Guide, or our user interface. This framework will enable our video platform to provide higher interactive to the customers, making it a complete new video experience on the TV for the customer homes. We believe that one of the main strategies we can employ in order to adequately face competition is technology and the fast development of new and better products. We continue developing the main projects, including the digitalization of the video subscribers, the increase in internet speeds with DOCSIS 3.0, as well as video on demand, which have worked in our favor in terms of generating more desirable products and packages for the subscribers, and in turn, attracting a larger number of clients. As such, we know that it's our ability to stay one step ahead and move quickly that will set us apart from other providers. Megacable's GTAC fiber backbone is already fully operational and, as we expected, has proven to be a very big competitive advantage in terms of internet and voice services. Internet growth has been robust in the market. For 2013, we expect to continue increases as the population becomes more and more connected, more savvy, and more financially able to purchase equipment and services. We also expect that this infrastructure will also help the company promote and increase the market share of small and medium-sized businesses, clients, as well as the corporate ones. We are focused in activities that are clearly aimed at improving the level of service for our subscribers. Megacable seeks to be an entrepreneurial leader in the market in the attention areas in terms of customer service, innovation, and increased productivity. Looking ahead, we remain on track for OTT, or over-the-top content, to be launched during the month of July. This product will allow subscribers to enjoy TV programming and content both in multiple rooms and devices in their homes. In addition, subscribers will have the ability to access the large content library stored head end that is supported by Megacable's cloud environment and access to Megacable's backbone. Also, in terms of new businesses, we saw important increases in the revenue generated by our business units, MetroCarrier and MCM, which saw increases of 28% and 18% respectively. As you know, MCM offers communication services for medium-sized and large companies in the main cities of Mexico. We see a lot of potential here, augmented by the growth of the medium-sized company market in Mexico. We are very pleased with Megacable's CPO performance for the first 3 months of the year, which has risen 30% from the low 30s at the beginning of the year to approximately 39 pesos at the end of March. This certainly reflects our operating and financial performance, as well as the confidence that the market has in our stock and in the continued growth of this industry. On another note, I am pleased to announce that at the general ordinary shareholders meeting, the board of directors and the company shareholders approved a dividend payment. The amount, as previously informed in the dividend policy, will be 15% of the 2012 EBITDA. The payment will be made in two installments, one during the month of May and the other in October of 2013. As mentioned before, the objective is to maximize the benefits of the company and its shareholders and to provide liquidity to our stock. Finally, I would like to comment the regulatory changes proposed in March by President Enrique Peña Nieto and the Pact for Mexico for the reform of the Mexican telecommunication sectors. Among the items that he proposes are increased foreign ownership of media and phone companies, as well as encouraging telecom growth via innovation investment. This would mean improving prices and the quality of their service, which is and has been Megacable's strategy. Under the proposed new bill, cable operators like Megacable will have the ability to distribute over-the-air channels at no charge and will also have the obligation to carry all of the offered channels. This rule is called, or is known as, must carry, must offer. We are very excited about this possibility, as you can imagine, as it would enable Megacable to broaden its reach while reducing the expense of paying third parties for programming. We agree that fostering more competition in the industry can further unlock its enormous potential. At this point, the final ruling on this bill would take place during the fourth quarter of this year. Hopefully, this will play out in the end. Thank you all for your attention. I will now turn the call over to Raymundo, who will briefly review some of the key operating highlights.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for your participation in Megacable's third quarter conference call again. Regarding our operating results, broadband was the segment which registered the best performance in terms of net adds, with 35,000 net additions during the quarter, increasing its base by 150,000 net additions compared to first quarter and so on. This was mainly the result of marketing campaigns targeted to position the fastest internet named Wideband with the speeds of 20, 50, and 100 megabits. Video subscribers rose 1% for a net addition of 12,000 for the quarter and 124,000 net adds compared with first quarter 12. A 6% increase year over year, while telephony added 13,000 subscribers for the quarter, a growth of 2%, and 67,000 net adds year to year, a growth of 13%. In the other hand, the digital video segment increased 3% for the quarter and 16% growth for the year, implying net additions of more than 40,000 over compared to last quarter and 163,000 year over year. As a result of our digitalization project, totaling 1.2 million main digital set-top boxes and an additional 1.4 million a second or additional outlet. We expect to install 1 million new set-tops by end of this year by digitalizing another 8 systems. This will certainly help us meet our annual goals. As a result of all these efforts, the company posted 2% growth and an 11% RU increase compared to fourth quarter year over year, respectively, totaling more than 3.5 million units as of March 31st, 2013, while unique subscribers accounted for more than 2.2 million, increasing the bundle ratio of RGUs per unique subscriber from 1.56 to 1.61. Also, all our ARPUs increased compared to fourth quarter and 12, video 2%, broadband 3%, and telephony 2%. The company continued to market the Joe brand, which we consider to be the best bundle packages in the market. Currently, the company is also offering 3 months of free HD programming. The package includes over 40 HD channels, including sports, movie series, and music channels that have high-level image quality. On the other hand, the monthly average churn rate decreased 20 basis points in internet. However, video increased 2.6% to 3%, and telephony services 3.5% to 3.9%. During this quarter, and as we did 2 years ago, Mega Cable was more selective with regards to the subscriber retention plans, that is, letting go on unprofitable customers. Metro Carrier, as Enrique mentioned, continued to consolidate itself as a carrier of carriers and an important corporate telco player in our systems. This was thanks to prior investments in the CFE's fiber network, called GTAC, which allow us to now have an extension network of our metropolitan network, spreading to national coverage and capable of transporting our core products and monetize them over business service deployment, and also to the deployment of the DOCSIS 3.0 platform for advanced internet services. Finally, the number of compacts increased 8% year over year, reaching approximately 6.3 million compacts and more than 45,000 kilometers of network with a bidirectional rate of 97%. As you know also, a great portion of our CAPEX goes straight to improving the network, equipment, CPE, like internet modems and set-top boxes, and upgrading the existing network that we have. Mega Cable continues to work in improving quality standards, the visibility of the network, the speeds of the internet service, quality of the video images, and of course, customer service. Thank you, everyone, and now I will turn to Luis Zetter for his review of the financial results.
Thank you, Raimundo. Good morning, everybody. Regarding the company's financial performance, during the first quarter, Megacable's consolidated service revenue rose 7% year over year to achieve 2.4 billion pesos. Video contributed with more than 1.4 billion pesos. Internet, which had the greatest growth within the first quarter, contributed with more than 500 million. Practically, 300 million came from telephony and 150 from the other segments on the sales on the company. As a result, consolidated EBITDA rose 4% compared to first quarter 2012, reaching 1,036 million pesos. Adjusted EBITDA for cable operations rose 3% from first quarter 2012 to first quarter 2013, reaching a margin over cable revenues of 44%. Cost of services increased 7% from first quarter 2012 to first quarter 2013, which was way lower than the 11% growth in RGUs that we have during the same period. This reaffirms the company's commitment to achieve administrative and operating cost efficiencies. Net income in first quarter 2013 totaled 529 million pesos, an 11% decrease compared to the same period 2012, mainly due to the net comprehensive financial income, which in first quarter 2012 reached 92 million pesos. Regarding assets, cash, and temporary investments, this increased 683 million pesos compared to the same quarter of last year, and increased 28% compared to the fourth quarter of 2012, showing Megacable capacity to generate cash flow. At first quarter 2013, we have a negative net debt, meaning we have net cash position of 951 million pesos. Thus, the consolidated net debt to EBITDA ratio reached minus 0.26 times. We also reached 31.02 times EBITDA to interest coverage at the end of this period. Properties, systems, and equipment net increased 20% or 1,926 million due to the purchase of TV set boxes for the digitalization project, the recognition of the GTEC asset, the construction of new kilometers of network, and the acquisition of equipment, among others. Lastly, this quarter, Megacable invested 110 million pesos, which was mainly allocated towards the purchase of terminal subscribers, equipment, growth and modernization of the cable network, as well as the purchase of other fixed assets. That concludes my presentation. Thank you for your attention. At this point, we can move to your questions. Operator, may we begin with the Q&A session, please?
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the question queue, press star two. Again, please press star one to ask a live question now. Our first question comes from Andre Medinamora with GBM.
Thank you. Good morning and congratulations on the results. I was wondering, with this cash position, what your intentions are in using them for the rest of the year. Should we expect an extraordinary dividend, or is consolidation still on the way in the coming months? And also, if you could delve a little bit deeper into what you think will be some of the effect for you guys regarding the new telecommunications reform and the positive effect of the Must Carry Most Suffer for you guys. Thank you.
Okay, may I speak on the cash flow first?
Yeah.
Okay, Andres, on the cash flow, we think that we will continue generating the average of 80 million pesos per month as we have in the past. So we have to take in consideration now the dividend that will reduce the cash, let's say, for the month of May and the month of October. But if we take out the cash that we will use for the dividend, we will continue to generate the 80 million pesos per month. So we don't think there's a change for now on thinking of an extraordinary dividend additional to the one we have. It could change in the future, of course, but so far we don't have that in consideration.
Well, I understand. This is Enrique, Andres. Thank you for your question. Obviously, there is excess cash in our balance sheet, but we do believe that the consolidation of the industry is still going on, and the opportunity in the market is big for organic growth also, and we don't have in our plans an extraordinary dividend, not for the moment. We think that we will be able to use the cash in other projects, like maybe some acquisitions or some CapEx to expand our network in the future. We also expect the new telecommunications reform to make the market more fair for operators like us. We will have the possibility of reducing programming costs, and we will also have the opportunity to, with that savings, look for more content, more and better content, maybe exclusive content to have a differentiation with other players in the industry, and some savings also. Yes, we think the reform is very good for operators like Megacable, and not only in the content side, but also in the telecommunication side. It's going to be much better. The interconnection scenario is going to be much better. The rate for termination, for call terminations, is going to be much better. And also, the rules for the interconnection, the physical interconnection, with better technology, cheaper technologies, more efficient, and in places that are logical. Now we have to go on interconnecting places where it doesn't make any sense. It's expensive, and it's almost impossible in some cases, or impossible in some cases, to do the interconnection. So we haven't been able to launch telephony in some markets, you know, smaller markets, but still there are markets that we see opportunity to launch telephony and telecommunication services, especially now that we have this backbone with the GTAC network. And we are also you know, waiting to see what will happen with better conditions for mobile virtual network operators, the famous MVNO that is a big success in some countries, like or in Europe or in the U.S. Even Telmex has a big MVNO, and we have been able to do that here because the conditions are not good enough. So we foresee very big opportunities with the new telecom law. We are also looking, you know, the change in foreign investment will bring other, you know, more players into the scenario in Mexico for telecommunications. It was limited to 49%, and it will happen also in the broadcast side, because in the past there was no foreign investment allowed. The only investment that you could have was in the broadcast side, neutral, which meant that you didn't have any rights or any votes. Now, up to 49% of the total stock of those companies will be able to be fully rights stock. So we see big changes in the telecommunications scenario for Mexico, and positive changes. We think that it will help competition, it will help the consumer, and it will help development of companies like Megacable.
Great, thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Saba with Credit Suisse.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for the call. Just as a follow-up to this question on the constitutional reform, you expect to benefit from the must offer obligations for the broadcasters, and when do you understand that these obligations will come into effect? Because, do you understand this kick in after the constitutional reform is approved, or after any secondary legislation kicks in, or what do you think? Thank you.
Well, the constitutional reform stated that the must carry, must offer rule will be in effect as soon as the new Instituto de Mexicano de las Telecomunicaciones is constituted, is formed. And that should happen according to what is happening right now, because the reform passed yesterday, the House of the lower house, the Congress. Now it's going back to the Senate for a minor change that shouldn't have any problem. So the telecommunications reform will finish in the Federal Congress next Tuesday. It will be done. It will be terminated. Then it will go to the local Congress in the states. It has to pass 17 states. That is seen as a something. It's just a tramitology. It won't have any discussions there. It just passed through. It will take them about a month. And then the law says that the Instituto de Telecomunicaciones should be formed within 60 days after law is in effect. So we are looking at a scenario where the must carry, must offer will be in effect by maybe September, October of this year, because we're the law will be in effect by the end of June at the most, and then the Instituto de Telecomunicaciones should be formed by the end of September. So that's when the must carry, must offer will be in effect. The rest of the benefits for, like, you know, asymmetrical rules for the dominant players and all that, it will take them maybe until the first quarter of 2014. The soonest. We don't foresee anything sooner, because it has to be, you know, a discussion of the new institute, and also it will have to be a matter of the new secondary laws that will rule the new constitutional changes. So it will be in effect, you know, we will see the first actions at the beginning of next year, in the first quarter of next year, but the must-carry, must-offer should be in effect around September.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Coelho with Scotiabank.
Hello, guys. How are you? Two quick questions down slightly. So I just wanted to know what happened during the quarter, if that was a result of holidays, that you had one less day, or if you, if you can give us an update on your guidance for 2013 in terms of organic growth. That's my first question.
Yes, Andre, this is Raimundo. Yes, our net adds were a little soft because of seasonality there. What we were more selective again, like we did 2 years ago, on the people that we have to reconnect on that part. So we were more in better shape for the future on that part. That affect a little bit our churn. Also, seasonality at the end of March, we have the holy week here, so our sales force really, really slow down on that period. So that's pretty much the reason. I mean, we don't see anything different changing on what we have right now. But to continue to be, try to be more efficient, you know. For the guidance, I don't know, Luis, if you wanna say something over there. But what we see is that our EBITDA rose more than $1 billion this quarter. So in terms of EBITDA, so that tells us some good positive sides too in terms of our situation. But Luis will explain you very much in detail about all the revenues and expenses and EBITDA.
Yeah, sure. First, excuse me. It was more a guidance on subscriber growth. If you have guidance on subscriber growth and if that changed after the first quarter, but if you can give us guidance on revenues and EBITDA, that would be great too.
In terms of subscribers, like we're telling you, we're still targeting pretty much what we say. Probably it looks tough right now with what we have, but we're confident that we have some strategies on the marketing side that might get us to the point where we wanna be. Internet is going right in target. Telephone start a little slow, but not too bad. It's going with straight with what we said, and it's only video, the one that we have that increase in churn because those customers we took away. It doesn't mean we're not selling the way we expect to do. You know, in that sense, like we said before, we are still targeting to 10 to 11%, 10% growth in video subscribers, 21% in internet, and 12% in telephony. You know, it's still early, and those measures at the beginning of the year, we did it 2 years ago, it worked well. And, well, we're excited to the changes we're doing in the marketing with the new job campaign on the HD and the new launch of the digitalization in 8 systems, plus VOD, and the we're launching with the SVOD campaign that we already have, and the launch of OTT. DOCSIS 3.0 is making wideband. Is our brand for the new 20, 50, and 100 megabits. All those combined is a very, very strong package in terms of pricing and everything. So we are confident we can get there in terms of subscribers and operating results.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, let me go to my second question. Thank you. This is a structural question regarding LTE. We are already seeing Telcel launching some LTE coverage, especially in the main cities. Obviously, with LTE, you can get up to 20 megabytes per second. So my question for you is, how can this impact your broadband business? Especially, what's the average speed that you are delivering to your broadband subscribers? Because once you get to LTE with 20 megabytes per second, there may be more than one guy that could disconnect. It's a fixed broadband subscription and go completely wireless broadband. So Just wanted to ask you how you see this trend in the future. Whether you know, especially how much speed you are delivering currently on average to your subscribers, so as to know if LTE is a threat to you, and what's overall your strategy there.
Well, we know LTE perfectly. It does increase the speed of the subscriber, and still. The frequencies that each company has and the number of cells constrain the amount of bits and bytes that are delivered to the subscriber, not only the speeds. What we have is more than 60, and by the end of this year, 75% of our network is DOCSIS 3 already. We're testing GPON in some of our major markets also to increase the capacity. DOCSIS 3.0 by itself, with the same level of CAPEX that we have right now, provide us a speed that can get up to 200, 300 megabits. Right now, what we're providing to our subscriber in the low end, the minimum is 5 to 10 megabits. Depending on the city, in major markets, most of our subscribers average are getting to 10 megabits. And like we said before, our new wideband system take us to 20, 50, and 100, but we're ready to increase that speed. We have already competition for fixed. While like other parts in the world, will still increase in some areas where we don't have coverage or we don't have the right products to compete, but we really have it in all our markets. And since you bundle it with the other systems, still we think it's going to be a complementary to some of our systems, but not take away our market in that part. Right now, what we compete straight on, for internet in all our systems, our participation is really, really, really well positioned, and we compete with fixed wire companies in that sense.
Okay, and just one final question, and excuse me for taking so much of your time, but just one final question. Now that you guys will be able to offer better content, right, because as your content cost will come down, as Enrique said, you will be able to look for better content, and that may increase pay-TV penetration, right? Or, I mean, you can choose either in lowering the price of your packages or keep the same price but offering better content thanks to the telecom reform. So this will increase pay-TV penetration in Mexico, which is already pretty high. So my question is, as audiences in pay TV grow, there's going to be an opportunity for you guys to produce local content and to sell advertisement, to increase your share in the advertising business, which I understand currently is pretty low. Overall, pay TV advertising is growing, but it's a small part of the pie. So just wondering whether you have an strategic plan to produce more local content, to sell more, to sell more advertising there, and how fast do you think you can implement, or how should we see Megacable's production of content? That would be my last question. Thank you.
Well, first of all, don't apologize, Andre. We really like you, everybody to participate, and we're excited for all the questions you make and give us the idea that you guys follow our companies and keep all the expectations that we do that. First, thanks for that. I mean, we really appreciate it. For the rest, let me tell you a little bit what we are doing. I mean, on the video side, pay TV penetration pretty much in the coverage area where we are is around 50%, 48 to 50%, lower in medium to small cities and a little higher in bigger cities, larger cities. We still see that the pay TV market got increased in that area. Mega Cable has a big participation on that. Our strategy is still positioned the right products for each of the segments of the market. This means we have a low-tier segment or a lifeline, we call it, package with telephony and internet with smaller speeds and less calls. That's part of the job campaign. That's where we open the market in the lower economic levels. That puts some pressure, like everybody has seen, on the ARPUs. On the contrary, what we're doing is increasing. Well, first of all, this year we're launching and continue to digitalize 8 more cities that we have right now, within putting 1.2 million new set-top boxes on that on those systems. This increase our revenue in terms of charging for additional outlets, also providing HD channels, the subscription VOD services, all those compare, plus the project that we've been telling you that are on the way and expect to launch in the next 2 to 3 months, which is the OTT. All those will help us to balance the ARPUs on the video side and keep and increase again penetration in the upper levels of those cities where we don't have right now the HD system. We will launch that and we will attack upper economic levels too. On the internet, like I said, wideband is really, really, really straight. We're compensating that also, or complementing that will be the word, with a metro Wi-Fi, which is also the project going on the way. We expect to have that in 3 to 4 months. That will put an additional 3 to 4 thousand hotspots nationwide to the already 600 to 800 that we have, allowing our broadband subscribers to have a mobile access. Let's call it mobile, because we'll be outside the home where they have it. In that case, so and also the system we have give us the ability to spread different QoS for our services. So whoever gets wideband will have a Wi-Fi access with a higher speed than those that have a lifeline package. So it's a very robust whole triple play service that we're providing in terms of advertising and local content that you provide. We're increasing our revenue, but the truth is that we sell locally mainly. Not that much to the national advertising, because that's been sold by the Turners and the regional the network, we call the network. Turner, Warner, Sony, those companies have more presence to sell regional than we do. Still, we're increasing, but it's not going to increase more and a higher speed that we increase in other segments like residential. What we see is and where we have 20% increase in our business segment called MetroCarrier and MTN, and that's because we're putting all our efforts to take the most advantage we can from the GTAC network that we have with the CFC fibers that we like. We have a large presence across the country, and we can target all the segments, not only the carriers, but also corporate and small and medium enterprise. So that gives us another opportunity to make revenue on that part. We are also already providing local content. We have Mega Canal. That's our local channel that we produce news, sports, and local entertainment, and we sell advertising on those channels as well. Plus, we produce video rollout. We have 26 channels across. So we're already on that part. But let me. I don't know, Enrique. You want to say something about that? I mean, because what Enrique told us was pretty much covered video, internet, residential, business.
I believe that what Andres wanted to know is whether we were going to go into producing content. Andres, we do produce some content. We have 26 local channels, and by the end of this year, there are going to be 30 local channels. And with this, we mainly cover every city with local programming. You know, those 30 channels will service all the cities where we operate. And those channels are aimed to local content. It's local news, local social network programming, you know, where people can see themselves in the TV, what's going on in the community. We do some local sporting events also, you know, high school events,
amateur events, local leagues, baseball, soccer leagues, and we also do the biggest event that we produce in the sporting professional side is the 100% of the total games of the baseball professional league on the Pacific, the Liga Mexicana del Pacifico. We also produced last year Serie del Caribe, which was the largest baseball event in Latin America. And we have those in exclusive, those rights are exclusive of Megacable. We will continue to seek those local regional events so we can do a value added in programming that nobody has in our service areas. We don't think we will go after soccer teams and, you know, national soccer teams, not for the moment. We think that that's done already by Televisa, Azteca, and now Slim went into the game. Slim owns already three professional soccer teams, right? And I don't know who else is going to go in, but we don't have that idea at the moment. We will concentrate in local programming, and I hope that answers your question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fernando Ramos with GBM.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the call. We have been seeing now several quarters of double-digit growth in your cash SG&As. To be honest, this has been a little bit surprising, as I expected the company to benefit from operating leverage as it grows its REUs per sub and increases its revenue line. So my question is if you expect this double-digit growth in cash SG&As to continue, and if you could give us a little bit more color as to why this is happening, is this a result of you increasing your brand equity or what's going on there? Thank you very much.
Well, really the cash flow that happened during the growth that happened during this quarter is not the normal growth in terms of net cash. But as I said before, the cash is our expectation is the cash is going to grow in an average of 80 million pesos per month. So that's kind of the expectation we have. We have to invest in CapEx in the remainder of the year. We also going to pay the dividend that was already agreed. And
I'm very, very sorry to interrupt. My question refers more to SG&As. Thank you.
We don't understand.
Sorry.
Can you elaborate on
this? Sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. Let me repeat it. We have been seeing now several quarters of double-digit growth in your SG&As, and I wondered if you could talk to us a little bit as to why this is happening, and if you expect your SG&As to continue to grow at this run rate going forward. Thank you.
So SG&A is depreciation amortization, right?
SG&A's and even your SG&A's, your general expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization, have been growing at, between 10 and 14% in the past quarters. Thank you.
Those expenses have been the operating expense.
Operating expenses related to
the acquisition of new customers. As you have seen, we increased the RGUs per subscriber from 1.56 last year. Now it's 1.61. So we are targeting and trying to bring new subscribers, but also pushing up the adoption of internet or the second or third service from our company. So that cost has been basically driven by increasing the customer base and expanding the customer base and the total ARPU, let's put it that way.
Well, and like we said also,
in terms of that. We increased the RGUs on that part, so like Luis was telling you, the labor, we put more effort on the on a new integrated services that we're opening to, so we can be more efficient on the digitalization that we're launching this year, that increase our labor and increase the cost of rent of the offices where we are. We're increasing the spaces that we have to position us better for what we're selling right now and what we will sell. That's pretty much where we see that part. It's also pressure by the commissions of the sales that we have on that part to grow. And what we expect to do is compensate those by increasing our revenue too. We're trying to put more of our efforts on increasing with the new launch of HD on those systems. Subscriber growth by 6% year over year on video, but 21% on internet. So we need to increase also the billing to the subscribers and all the costs related to that. So the access.
Excellent. That's very, very clear. And if I could do a follow-up, you've been growing very handsomely your broadband base and your broadband revenues. And I'm wondering if you expect these to reflect in better gross margins within the medium term, as broadband services, of course, are less cost intensive. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point. We see some. We expect the ARPUs and the margins to remain. We have some pressure on the ARPUs all the time. So we can, as long as we continue to increase penetration on the lower economic segment level. But broadband will help us also with that margin to compensate some other products with less margin, like the video on the Lifeline segment or product called Connect Mini Basic that we have. So I will see that as an overall product where we will continue our margins and we will continue to have an ARPU, a general ARPU, the way we have it right now, with all these strategies that we're telling you. Compensated video with the new services and compensated broadband in the lower economic levels with the wideband. Those are, we have a product for each of the different segments that are in the market. So hopefully we can meet that target by the end of the year.
What Raimundo is trying to explain is that the efforts of Megacable are aimed or focused in complementary products that will that are focused in upselling the subscriber to VOD, high definition, and more outlets. Because with the new digital services, subscriber will pay for additional outlets. So we are focused in raising the maintaining, at least not letting the ARPU and video fall, and raising the ARPU in the social economic levels where this is possible, which is the upper economic levels. And we're also aimed at or focused in getting the subscribers with better broadband speeds that would allow us to charge a little bit more for the broadband service. We launched the 100 megabit service, the 50 megabit service, and we are also focused in getting the subscriber, once he has a broadband service like that, you know, having an OTT service and VOD, SVOD, subscription VOD. So we are focused on that. We're focused in not losing any more value in our ARPUs, and trying to raise our ARPUs as well as increasing penetration in our home stack.
And to balance also the margins, like you are asking, you know, there are some products with lower margin and some others with larger margins. So all around internet exactly help us a lot in those. But other products like businesses or metro carriers, for example, on the transport, has lower margins than the internet and broadband service on that part. So as an overall, we expect to continue that and be able to manage different products. And like Enrique is saying, with the new services or complementary service, a additional service, bring more income to the company and balances.
Excellent. Well, that's very, very clear. Thanks a lot for your comments.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pablo Vallejo with GBM.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the question. I have two questions. The first one regarding CapEx. I was wondering if you can reiterate your guidance from the previous quarter. And the second one was more related to competition in terms of the change in concession of Telmex. Whenever that change in concession is granted, I was wondering if you can give us some color of what you might think they would start off to do in terms of commercial strategy. Thank you.
On the CapEx, our guidance for the year is between $175 and $180 million. Dollars.
Mm-hmm. And Enrique, you want to say something about the competition on Telmex and the...
But really, I mean, the law is aimed, and it should be, the final goal of the law is to have more players with pretty much having a dominant player that is not so dominant. I mean, it's going to be hard for anyone to have more fixed subscribers, telephone subscribers, than Telmex in the cities. But the objective of the law is having somebody that has 30%, somebody else that has 20%, and maybe Telmex with 50%. But currently it's 80%. Telmex has 85%, 89%, 90%, 95%, depends on the city. So we think that the big opportunity here is when the asymmetrical regulation or the special regulation for Telmex comes in effect. That is a big opportunity for us to grow the market, and not only grow the market, but also take some of the subscribers from Telmex. That should be, that is the goal of the law. We should be there to take advantage of the opportunities. And that's the market should grow. I mean, we have 26 million homes in Mexico. We only have about 12 million residential phone, fixed lines, and a lot of those are, in some homes have two lines. So we think that if the penetration of fixed numbers grows to 65-70% instead of 40-something percent that we have now, there is opportunity to grow the market, and there is opportunity to take numbers from the competition also. So that's where we should be ready to do that. We're in the process of changing all our technology, phone technology, to be more competitive and have to be with innovation and lower prices. And we will be ready for that.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Marcelo Santos with JP Morgan.
Good morning. I wanted to understand a little better the gains that you got from GTAC implementation. So on a quarter-to-quarter basis, how much are your savings on that project? And the second question, I just wanted an update on your MVNO project. So how is it going? How many users?
All right. Related to the savings that we have on GTAC, that's... That depends on the time that you take the comparison, because the prices for the transportation of the data has been changing during the last 16, 18, 20 months. But if you take in consideration 20 months ago, the savings from GTAC during 2012 were well in around $40 million. But if you take consideration the numbers, just the expenses that we have been doing we really are saving around 10 million pesos per month. That's kind of the savings that we are having right now, net to net. But you have to consider that we have more than doubled the capacity that we have been providing to our subscribers. So if we had not had the benefit of GTAC, right now we will be spending more than double that we were spending last year. So taking that in consideration, the savings are around 20 to 30 million dollars, sorry, pesos per month.
Okay, thank you very much.
And the second question, this is Raimundo. Let me jump into that. We have the an MVNO like we told you before. What we are doing right now is keeping our customer base, which is very very small in that part. So we know how to sell and how to manage all the different CPEs and mobile phones and the administration of that product, and be ready for any changes that might be and might help us to have a better MVNO deal with the new law. Like Enrique was telling you, the reform will have the objective of increasing the market and by having more companies with a much more balanced way in each industry. The one that has to win with this is the subscriber at the end. And this will include also, of course, the mobile industry. In that case, having a much more better deal with the company that we want to do, and not only with the only one we can right now, will help us to have a better offer to the market that it is reasonable for a company like us. Right now, it's really hard to keep track with the market when the company change the offer so often, and we don't have the leverage to compete, not even with the one that provides the MVNO to us. So what we want to do is be conservative in terms of where we put the money in terms of mobile phones, or also in terms of margins that product can bring, and negotiate in the right way with whoever is the best player for us. So we're waiting a little bit to see how it goes. In the meantime, we continue to have, it's a very small customer base. We have it, we provide service to them, and we continue to have some small promotions to them. So we don't cancel the program. But really, it's not our main target at this point right now. We're really focused on what Enrique told you before, on those new systems that clearly provide us an advantage on the three markets where we are strong and well positioned.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andre Coelho with Scotiabank.
Hi guys, thanks for the follow-up. We have to jump to another conference call in just a minute, but let me ask you this question. How much of your revenues is advertising today? For instance, during the first quarter, I don't know if you have, if you can give us a disclosure of how much of that amount was advertising.
Very small.
No, but what we sell in advertising and promotion, that's what you are asking about?
Yeah, I mean, how much of your revenues...
Last year, the total advertising sales were like 120 million pesos.
No, but you're asking sales or expenses?
No, sales. Of your income. How much of your service income is advertising?
45 million for 2000.
No,
for the quarter.
No,
the whole year.
For the whole year, 140 million.
For the whole year, 140, 145 million. That's what we sell in advertising.
For the whole year of 2012.
That was
2012. Yeah, for the expected growth of about 10% for this year.
This quarter was 27.
I find that amazing because you guys have, 2.1 million subscribers, nearly 10% of Mexican homes, get pay TV through Megacable, and yet advertising is such a small portion of your revenues, right? Do you feel comfortable with this? Do you think you're doing the job there? I mean, should you produce more local content to increase this amount? do you think it is possible, or do you think that the big networks like Universal, etc., are the ones gaining most on pay TV penetration in Mexico?
Well, you have to remember that what we have here is a marginal benefit. We have with some networks like CNN or TNT or MTV or Discovery, we have a 2 minutes per hour for advertising. In some cases, we don't have any. I mean, Televisa doesn't allow us to get any advertising minutes locally. They take it all. And so we don't have it with everyone. We will be expecting that Televisa opens that now with the new telecom law. But that's as much as we can sell, 2 minutes per hour. And it has to be local advertising. I mean, it's why local? Because it doesn't make sense for a national brand to advertise locally. It's much cheaper for them to go to Discovery and buy minutes from Discovery then come to us and buy some advertising in 20 or 40 different markets with us. It doesn't make any sense for them. So when they do national advertising, they go direct to the networks. Because for two reasons. If they buy from Discovery direct, they have better price because it's more efficient, because they have all platforms. Discovery has a distribution with Sky, with Dish, with Cablevisión, with all the pay TV industry. They have 12 million subscribers in Mexico. If they buy from us, they will only buy, if they buy all the markets from us, they will get 2 million subscribers, and that's much more expensive than buying a 30-second promotion advertising with them, than buying that same 30 seconds from us. Because the cost of advertising with us is 30, seconds, but in 50 different markets. So that has a cost, so it doesn't make any sense. In the local channels that we have, people advertise the local, grocery store, the local hardware store, but we don't sell national advertising. If it's not a special promotion that, for instance, Coca-Cola has in a city or a new product or a new distribution system or something that they are experimenting with, they won't come to us. They do it national. Of course, there is the opportunity to raise that. So that's where we are thinking that we should grow about 10-12% this year, broadcast television is not growing at more than 1-2% a year. We are growing at 10-12%, and but that's the main reason. And also the other problem is that locally there's not much television production for advertising. We do have to do a lot of times the ads, the spots for the customer, and we don't. We don't have an advertising agency in every city that will serve the customer. So it's not that easy. It's in the culture to advertising in local television cable station is not that big yet. But yes, you're right. We should grow. We are growing in that segment, but maybe we're not growing as fast as we could. But okay. We're making efforts.
Great answer, Enrique. Thank you very much, guys. Bye.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a live question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. Our next question comes from Martin Lara with Actinver Securities.
Hi, good morning. What are the potential cost savings that you plan to generate with the Muscari and Mustafa regulation? That's my first question. And the second one is, when does the Televisa programming contract expire?
Well, what we expect to save with the Muscari most offer will be something in between $14 to $16 million a year. That's pretty much what we see on that. And the contract we have with Televisa, well, that's something that we have it. We still is in place. We have it for this year at least.
And it's information that we have, and we need to negotiate with that. Sorry to tell you about that. But we really believe that we will be in a position that we can negotiate with them as long as this comes to the point. We will try to get there, and we are confident that changing the law, we can apply this by beginning of, like Enrique was saying, by the end of this year or beginning of next year at most.
Okay, thank you. And another question. Do you think that full foreign ownership is going to be approved in the cable TV segment?
It's already approved. I mean, yeah, well, it still has to go over Senate next Tuesday. But it's just a matter of tramitology. That's it. I don't think it's going to be a big discussion next Tuesday. But it's already in there, 100% foreign investment approval. And it's been
okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now to ask a live question. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to management for closing comments.
Well, really, thank you very much to all of you. We are really pleased with, big participation and a lot of questions. We appreciate that, and we're ready to answer any further questions that you may have, either through email or phone calls. And if not, we will talk to you next quarter. Thank you very much, and have a nice weekend.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference. Please disconnect at this time.